This is The Next Turn, the home of conversations about skiing, ski racing, and sport. I'm your host, Martin Wilson, and after a lifetime as an athlete and a coach, and with a continued love of skiing, I wanted to take a deep dive and have honest conversations with the sport's most successful athletes, coaches, and forward thinkers. So join me in my pursuit of better, to be better athletes, better coaches, better parents, and better fans. This week, a conversation with Canadian downhillers, Brody Seeger, Jack Crawford, and Jeffrey Reed. Welcome back to The Next Turn. It's good to have you here. Thanks to all of you for listening, liking, rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you find this podcast. It's making a huge impact, and we really appreciate it. Thanks as well to all of those who have taken the time and effort to share your own thoughts of the day with us at thenextturnpodcast.com. It seems like we have some pretty smart and engaged listeners, and we like that. Keep that up. As always, I'm joined with Jeff and Kara. Jeff, can you give us some hard facts on these three young men?
Yeah, Martin. Brody Seeger is a 25-year-old from Whistler Mountain Ski Club, national team member since 2016, and a remarkable fourth in the Super G at Cortina World Championships this year. Jack Crawford, a 23-year-old from Toronto, Georgian Peaks ski team member and Whistler Mountain Ski Club, been a national team member since 2016. This year, a sixth at Kitzbühel and a fourth in the combined at Cortina World Championships. And Jeffrey Reed, 23-year-old from Canmore, Alberta, national team member since 2016, 2020 NORAM downhill champ, and an 18th at Kitzbühel Super G this year. Kara, these guys are chomping at the bit.
Yeah, Jeff, those accomplishments are pretty amazing. You know, these three are another example of the talent that's coming out of Canada right now. And it's interesting to know that each of these guys have a sibling on the team. Brody has his younger brother, Riley. Jeff has his older brother, Eric. And Jack has his sister, Candace Crawford. So all these guys also grew up together. As you mentioned, they all joined the team in 2016 and have a really tight bond. I feel like these guys are poised to be the next Canadian legacy team. And I feel like the Europeans are already taking notice. With a smattering of top fives and top tens and 15s, as you mentioned, I feel like there's a solid chance we could be comparing this team to the Crazy Canucks or the Canadian Cowboys. I can't wait to hear how they're reacting to the success.
They are three great, young, intelligent, and promising athletes. And it's really interesting to hear them talk. And Kara, I think you're right. They are coming into the sweet spot of their career. There's so much ahead of them. And it's a pretty interesting conversation. So here is Brody Seeger, Jack Crawford, and Jeffrey Reed on The Next Turn. What is the biggest advantage, Jack, if you could speak to it, what's the biggest advantage of having a group of guys that you've known for so long that you can rely on, you can fight with, you can get over it and move on? What's the biggest advantage that you think that you have growing up together and coming onto the World Cup together and having these experiences for the first time?
For me, the team is my closest friend group, and I think it just keeps it fun. Like, being with all these people that you can trust, you have a good time with, you don't, like, if you do fight, you get over it pretty easy. It keeps things loose and fun. It doesn't feel like you're out there alone, or when you're having a bad day, you've got other guys who might be as well. So to me, it really keeps things loose and, just fun. It doesn't quite feel like a job because you're with the guys who you spend all your time with outside of skiing anyway. And for me, that's definitely the biggest point.
That's good. Vibert, you want to jump in there quick?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I know Jack and Brody and Riley, and there's a few of you guys that all kind of skied at Whistler together. Was that transition an easy one, or was it the same sort of culture? Is it, we're trying to look for that recipe as coaches, like, or was it just a good group of athletes that came up through that program?
I think it was just a good group of kids. We all kind of meshed pretty easily, and we all had our eyes set on where we wanted to be when I came out to Whistler, there was no doubt that everybody wanted to be the best. It wasn't like everyone was just out there having fun. It was like every day, even in K2, when you might not be as mature, everyone was still trying really, really hard to get to that next level the whole time. And having all of us around all the time really made that easy. You always had a pace to go off of.
Brody, Jack used the words fun a couple times, and he also used wanting to win and I paraphrase, but like to compete and wanted to beat you. How do you have an environment where you have both of those, where you have the desire to kick each other's ass, but it is a super fun place to be?
I think that's something that you try to build into your team culture, because, you know, it's a individual sport at the end of the day, but the only we all recognize that the way that we're all going to get better as individuals and also as a team is by having that spirit and bringing that to everything that we do. And I think we're pretty lucky with this group that it comes quite naturally because of those long relationships and how far back we go. And I mean, I don't really know if I can say why it was like that from such an early age. Maybe that is just a special part of this group, but now that we're older and we reflect more on those types of things, I think it's something that we all recognize is really important as individuals and as a group, so we try to maintain it.
Jeff, if that's Brody's take, what is your take? And maybe I'll push it a little bit further. What do you get from when somebody does well and you pick it up, that momentum and team momentum, and how does the group help you get through the shitty days? And how does it make the better days better?
Yeah. I mean, I think our camaraderie is our biggest strength right now. And I think just that, yeah, having that ability to push each other on good days and bad days. Yeah. It's unbelievable, because when someone's down and they need a little, so a pick me up or something like a tip to kind of get them going, maybe just kind of some firsthand knowledge, it really helps to kind of put us back in line. And I think that can really turn a bad day into a good day if it's tough conditions or something. And then on race day, it can be a tough pill to swallow to see someone that you're so close to in training or like beating or like neck and neck do really well, but you're really proud for them at the same time, because we're kind of all in this together as being a team that's sort of built out of underdogs. And so every big result is such a massive step for all of us. And then it also like boosts our confidence, because we know we're all at a very similar level. Like we're all always duking it out in training. So, you know, that anybody could do that. And yeah, it just really keeps us motivated. You know, it can be pretty fun, but it can be hard at times. But yeah, I definitely think it's our strongest suit that we have, the fact that we can push each other and have such a tight bond.
How, you got some great reviews from Nick Fellows, the three of you, and talking about this group. Who's, I don't know. I think he's a legend. I think he's the greatest. You guys are all
smart. I just listened to that episode you guys did with him yesterday. Actually, I loved it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Good. Right. So you guys,
I just love listening to that guy talk about ski racing.
Yeah, I know, right? It makes you want to do more.
He get anybody excited about it.
I can't agree with you more. That's so great. He pointed to Johnny Kuchera and his role, Brody, and the coaching staff that you have. And the other part too is Jan Hudek gave you guys a bit of a shout out a few weeks ago as well, especially Jack. He mentioned you by name. That's kind of a big deal. Yeah, Hudek. Look at the smile on his face now. Yeah, Hudek said you were the real deal. And he mentioned Johnny too. And the combination between Johnny Kuchera's experience and going through it at all, and you and the group of you guys being very cerebral, athletic, and knowing when to take risk and not take risk. Brody, can you speak a little bit to how you and the rest of the group play off the coaching staff and what the coaching staff brings?
Yeah, first of all, I think long before we got with Johnny, I consider myself to be pretty lucky with all the coaches I've had throughout my entire journey from you know, the K2 or U16 level all the way through Whistler Mountain Ski Club and BC team. I feel like I had a lot of really good coaches along the way that helped me develop as an athlete in some important ways. So I don't think it just started when I made the development team and started working with Johnny, but for sure it's also been a bit of a unique situation for us, because each of us, since we've made the national team, has kind of moved up to the World Cup with Johnny. We're kind of like Johnny's racehorses. So we also have a pretty good bond with him now after all these years, and have been through ups and downs. We know each other quite well. He knows our tendencies as athletes. We know some of his tendencies as coaches, and can point that stuff out, can have an honest conversation about it. So that's really valuable. And not only have we obviously had to mature as athletes to make that next step, but he has as a coach as well. I think we've seen that going from Devo athletes where it was, I guess you could say the program was a bit more of a grind, high volume. Johnny worked us hard. And that's how he worked as an athlete. I think we saw a lot of that in our early years with him. But how that's changed a little bit as we've matured and moved up and gone towards the World Cup circuit, and how the focus has changed. And I guess we also get to see that evolution a little bit through the eyes of somebody who's done it himself as well, which is really cool.
And been quite successful with it.
Yeah.
Can you speak some more about that, Jack, of what he brings, just that somebody's been to the dance and done all right?
All right.
He was a part of a pretty big crew, kind of similar to how ours came through the system, and having someone who was in that scenario in a pretty similar setting as us, I think he can kind of facilitate a bit how we progress and maybe what went wrong with his development and career, and he can kind of understand what we're going through while he's doing all that. And recently, kind of team culture has been a big talk of from Johnny and the rest of the team, and he really wants to try to instill a culture into our team that will last throughout our entire careers, and we can kind of stay on the same pages where you don't have maybe two people go separate ways and then issues arise later in each of their careers. So I think him just knowing all the stuff that was good through his career and all the stuff that was bad, it really allows him to move us forward in a good direction and kind of point us in the right way.
All three of you come from skiing families. You have brothers and sisters and parents that came through it. Jeff, your dad and brothers are obviously well known. If that's what you can get from someone like Johnny as a coach, that sense that they've been there before, can you talk a little bit about what you can draw from your brother Eric or your dad Ken, and what that helps you do?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice having the speed side of it with my dad. He's a lot of these tracks, like, sure, the course sets have changed and grooming's a little nicer these days, but and kind of the fundamentals of the tracks, they're all the same, and a lot of the tricks are the same. So it's kind of a nice input. And he also understands like the development process that you have to go through as a speed skier, gaining experience and everything. And so he's just a really nice voice to have in your corner. And he definitely makes sure to not get too nosy into anything. He leaves the coaching to the coaches, because that's what they do. And but if I need a little, I don't know, pick me up or need a little word of advice here or there, he's always there to help, and he can be really, really valuable. And then with Eric, it's I mean, it's a current experience just with him being an active tech skier. It's really, really awesome to be able to go and like train with him like I did today. And he'll go out there and kind of show me like what you need to be skiing like and the level you need to be at. And of course, I'm not trying to be a slalom skier out here, but he really shows like, this level and what I have to do. And he likes to give me little tips here and there, maybe light a fire underneath me and kind of get me going. And of course, we're both still pushing a GS. And with him being a top 20 GS skier, that it really shows the level you have to be at. And it's nice insight. And then you get to balance or compare the tech and speed tours and kind of all the new or the funny things of each. And it's definitely a funny insight hearing everything from that side. But I think it's a balance that really helps. And hopefully we can continue to build off each other in this. And I don't know, maybe I'm working on trying to get him into a few speed races, and he's still working on trying to get me into slalom races, but we'll see.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And as always, share your thoughts of the day with us at thenextturnpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Next Turn Podcast. Now back to our conversation with Canadian downhillers Brody Seeger, Jeffrey Reed, and Jack Crawford on The Next Turn.
Brody, yeah. You seemed to take offense earlier when you found out that Jeff was skiing slalom. I kind of want to get to that, but I may let you slide. I'll let you answer it if you want to. But my real question is, if Jeff spoke a little bit about the upsides of having a brother in the game actively. You've got a brother in the game actively. What are some of the things that drive you nuts or not so awesome, or is it all upside having your brother along for the ride too?
I think it's all upside. I think since we've been on the team together, there hasn't been any butting of heads or anything. It's been nice, because for a bunch of years there, we didn't see each other super often. Well, throughout the winter mainly, because we were just sort of on different schedules when I was with the national team and he was with the BC team, both doing a lot of skiing but in different places and stuff like that. So getting more time together has definitely been fun. A little different now because for the last 2 years he's also been racing for Montana State, so he's doing the college athlete national team athlete balancing act, but he's been doing it pretty well so far, so I'm proud of him for that. And it's cool to see him make that work the way Jeff's brother did as well. So I can't say there's downside.
You're such a nice guy. I'm gonna let Vibert jump in here, but I'm gonna get like you said nothing but nice things so far, but before I let Vibert jump in, one last chance to like, what's your beef about him skiing slalom?
Oh, I'm just giving him a hard time.
He's just jealous. He wants to get a few more slalom reps under there.
Yeah, you don't need to train slalom, man. Look at Jack at World Champs this year. Guy barely made a slalom turn for it. I don't know how long. Jumps on full on slick injection and just knocks it out of the park. All the coaches are on the side of the hill like, holy crap, we didn't expect that.
You don't have to do it often. You just have to do it at the right time, huh?
Nah, you just got to come out of the gate charging like a madman. It'll all work out. You don't need to train.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You took the words out of my mouth, Brody. Like, hasn't skied slalom in how long, and goes and knocks it out of the park in Cortina, and you guys actually did super well as a team, right? So, and let's not forget about Candace, right, Jack? I mean, you guys are pretty lucky. I mean, you're talking about your brothers, you guys, but you know, Candace is also on there. So I think it's pretty cool that all three of you have siblings that are at kind of one stage on this playing field of ours, right?
Yeah. It's I was actually thinking about this a few, I can't remember how long ago, but I was just thinking about how many siblings we had on the team at one time a few years ago. Like we had, I think it was the second year or maybe third, but we had both Phelps, Houston and Trevor. We had me and my sister, Brody and Riley, Jeff and Eric. Like it was crazy. It was like all the all the old parents just did it right with their putting everybody on the national team.
Now we have to deal with the Alexander clown.
That is true. Brody and Jeff, you guys can talk about this. Maybe Brody can go first, but you guys are from the West. You've skied that Kimberley entry level downhill. That was probably your first introduction as a young fist racer to the downhill. Did you know from that point that you wanted to ski speed, or was it later on in your career?
I think I knew from pretty early on. My first downhill was actually the Apex downhill. And that one is a little more in your face than good old flat Kimberley. I actually think that's a great entry level downhill because it's got quite a few different elements in it. You got some technical bits. You got, you know, a section just zipping along the A-net on kind of a cat track. You got a few jumps in there. There's all sorts of elements in a shorter course that I think apply really well to higher level downhills. And there's not a whole lot of places in North America where we get cool tracks like that. So from my first time running that in first year fist, I was like, this is awesome. And then on top of that, I just felt like from around that age, I was always, I don't want to say pushed in the direction of speed, but I think it was recognized early on by my coaches and stuff that I was comfortable with it. I liked it. There's probably a lot better chance I was going to be a good speed skier than a good slalom skier. Obviously still did everything for as long as I could, as long as my body could hold up from doing everything. And I guess only in the last, it's only been in the last 2 years that I've started to actually like phase out slalom, because there's just not enough time to focus on everything anymore. But GS is still something I care about quite a bit. I mean, not only, like you said, it's kind of the base of everything in skiing. I think you got to be a good GS skier to be a good speed skier, and vice versa. But I also really like it. You know, I'd still like to put time into it and into training it. And I've had the chance to do a couple World Cup starts in GS, which did not go so well. I think maybe not the best planning and timing of those races when I fit them into my schedule, but it's still in our off season, we get so much GS training and fit speed training in where we can, you know, depending on where we are and what's available. But it's something we do so much of that I'd really like to keep it as a focus and be able to be competitive at the highest level in that event as well.
Nice. And was that the same for you, Jeff?
I was a bit more of a confusing venture to speed. I mean, I had on the Norm tour, I had some like really early success in downhill, and then I was kind of consistent across all disciplines. And then I had my first win in slalom, which was kind of funny. And I've always had a bit of a knack for it. And I mean, I've definitely come close to starting some World Cup slaloms, and it's just never quite worked out. And now I'm really not putting enough time into it. So it's, it's kind of dwindling. But I was definitely identified early as like a speed skier, just because kind of my skills and my body type, that it inevitable going to be a downhiller. And it was just kind of entertaining the slalom there for a while. Like even last year, after the Beaver Creek and Lake Louise World Cups, we had the Norm tour at Lake Louise Norms, and then when Jack and Brody went off to Val Gardena, I stayed and did tech races at Nikiska, and actually came out of there with a win in slalom and a second place. And those were races with like I was battling with Ben Ritchie, and Jet Seymour were in there. And so it was kind of a confusing time, because I was wondering, I was like, oh, I can still do this maybe. But I mean, it slalom is such a thing that you have to put so much time and effort into. And there's so many people these days that are like so specialized in slalom that even GS skiers can have a hard time. So it's definitely something that I'm going to take as a strong suit for combined. but not a priority. But that's definitely made my journey a bit confusing, just trying to squeeze all that in there, because I mean, there's definitely not enough days in the year to get a full slalom program into, and we're definitely trying to keep it alive, but realizing that that's a thing that we have to sacrifice a little bit as I'm developing. But yeah, it's made for some interesting conversations with the coaches growing up, with just like, oh, you can train some speed or you can go do a slalom race. And well, I'm still a slalom skier, kind of, but yeah.
Don't give up.
No, it's funny, but yeah, it definitely slowly just like being pushed a little more to speed specific, and slaloms being put on just like the combined side of things. So.
Nice. And Brody doesn't think you're a slalom skier anymore either, clearly. So
I don't know. He's not there today. I think
Brody's beef is just jealousy. He's like, I don't know.
He just has so much fun.
Training slaloms hard, though, like the whole thing. I want to talk to you guys about the 3-4 years you've been on the World Cup Tour, on the Speed Tour, just about, right? Jack, you've gone into Kitzbühel, and your first time in Kitzbühel went pretty well, some would say, right? For the first couple trips down that track went pretty well. How do you go about, one, learning a downhill track, like really learning it? How much do you learn before you get there? How much do you learn while you're there? And how much do you learn the second and third time you go back to a downhill?
I'd say the first time for me down a new track, it's almost more about just getting over the nervousness or fear of that track. Cause like your first time down, you can inspect and watch as much video as you want, but you won't ever really know exactly how each piece of terrain is going to move you. So yeah, for me, definitely the first time down a track, it's like just playing with your mental state and like trying to get into a zone where you're willing to like risk and put things on the line your first time down it. And then once you've done it once, like in Kitzbühel, I remember with Jeff, I think we were standing in the Red Bull hut right at the top, and what you're looking at is you're looking down on the start gate and you just see the Mousafaller. And when you see the first rate, like I'm like, oh, okay, I might as well go watch, like see what it's like. And you just see these guys disappearing off the Mousafaller, and you're like, holy shit, they're gone. They're not coming down off that thing. And so like that's a perfect example. Like you're watching this and then you have to go do it somehow, and you have no idea what you're doing, because it's like, you can look at the line, you can look at the jumps, but like really you don't know what's going to happen your first time down. And so then moving forward, when you come back the next year and you kind of have an idea of how it runs, then you can start playing around with how to run the train and how to do it properly. And for me, it was definitely hard doing all those tracks for the first time, but going back feeling comfortable, it makes it really easy to want to push and try to win, not just be a little bit nervous.
How much of it is talking to Jack and Brody going down before and after a training run or inspection and going, I think I can go here, I think I can go there? How much of it is teamwork? How much of it is you just soaking in as much as you can? And how much of it is doing a math equation?
I think a lot of it is you can take in the track as much as you want on video. And yeah, like Jack said, it gets totally different when you step there or get there and go down inspection. And then you can do inspection and you kind of have a good idea. But once you run it, that's when it really gets ingrained in you. And being able to talk it over with your teammates is a huge part. You can really find what their tips and tricks were to be fast, and where they tried to maybe pull the line in a little bit. And so that really helps. And it's much more of a team experience, like learning a track together. And I think this year I got really thrown in the fire, just because the first three downhill races of the year were all pretty much new tracks. Like we had a limited amount of experience on Val d'Isère, but for me, Val Gardena and Bormio were both brand new. And you definitely feel like the hard drive was getting a little overloaded at the time. And just learning all those kind of, especially those like Bormio and Valgradena, they're two tracks that are incredibly hard to remember and nail. And but yeah, with Valgradena, so much terrain that you've never seen before. And Bormio is just like kind of that icy bumpy that you've maybe gotten a taste of it in Kitzbühel, but this is like top to bottom consistent. And so it's a lot to take in, and for sure it's a big mental toll on yourself. And I mean, that's where it really helps to talk with the boys and kind of get everything sorted and get their experience from years past. Because once you roll into January and it's all races that we've run before, it's so much more natural. We know where everything is. You can inspect so much more relaxed, and it makes a big difference. So I think hopefully for all of us being fully committed to the tour this past year, moving into next year, we already know what everything's like, and it's going to be much more of a breeze in the brain. And it's definitely something that we'll have to continue to work on in the future, with like Beijing going to be a brand new track for everybody, Cortina this year that showed that those are skills that we for sure still need to be able to pull out the odd time. But that's where I think, again, having such a good group of guys around us and being able to figure it out together, and we're all kind of pushing for the same goal. So yeah, it's nice to be able to kind of bounce some thoughts off the fellas and work it out.
Brody, Jeff brought up the Olympics next year. I don't know if you knew about it.
Oh, was that next year already? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Already?
I'll ask specifically, how do you guys manage dreams and expectations? Right? Like, I think you're at the point in your career that all three of you guys are coming to the sweet spot. Like, any given race, like, something pretty awesome could happen. And you got to be thinking that. And you, Brody, your development year after year, like, results have come. And again, I don't think I'm the first person telling you that the sweet spot's coming up. How do you look at something like Beijing and plan for it?
Well, I guess fingers crossed all three of us end up there. Jack's going to be our wily vet because he's the only one with a little Olympic experience under his belt already.
Obi-Wan.
But yeah, 2 years younger than me, the wise one. I still, I appreciate how you said that. It looks like things are, you know, progressing in the right direction year to year. Maybe a little slower than some people like Marco Odermatt, let's say, but I feel like things are moving in the right direction, but I wouldn't say that I feel like I'm there yet already. And I guess I think that's good at any stage to not just think, I'm there, I've made it, I can take my foot off the gas now. Cause I think you gotta maintain that attitude throughout your entire career. But coming into the Olympics, especially, I don't want to take that like it's a given. I still have a lot of goals that I want to achieve as part of the process of making it there. So I wouldn't say that I'm just eyes ahead on the Olympics specifically at this point. There's a lot of things I want to do at the beginning of the season leading up to that. I was really happy that I was able to finish this season getting into the top 30 in the Super G rankings, especially with missing a few races in the middle of the year. And that was a big goal in downhill as well. Wasn't able to pull it off this season, and I want to get in there so I can be in that position going into the Olympics next year. So I guess I'm still just focused on some of the steps leading into that, and not looking too far ahead.
As always, thanks to our friends at 4951. Check them out at 4951.com for all your listy, gates, safety, and training needs. And now back to our conversation with Brody Seeger, Jack Crawford, Jeffrey Reed on the next turn.
Jack, Brody mentioned that he doesn't feel like he's quite there. I'll argue with him about that later. you've been teased with some success, like, well, you had some success, but you've been teased a couple times with some really big days. What do you think? Where do you find that 1 or 2% more? Like, it's not much, right? It's just dialing in this a little bit more and a little bit there and a little bit there, and it seems really easy to write down on paper what you got to get better at, but it's so damn hard. Where do you see that 1 or 2%?
Oh, I'd say it's just having consistency from day to day. All of us have shown that we have the speed to be competitive with those top guys, but it's about having that speed every single time you push out of a start gate. And I definitely think for me, it's a little bit mental. I know the capabilities of myself. Like, even if I'm not skiing super great, if the willingness is there to just send it and not care about the result, it could still be a pretty good day. It might not be the win, but if the skiing's in the right place and everything's in the right place, it's really easy to push out of the start gate and be fully committed to what you're doing. But something that I think the top guys do unbelievably well, like the Kriegmeiers and the Pinaros and Odermats, is that they can push out of the gate every single time. And it just seems like their intent is just always there to be the fastest. And definitely, this was the first year we started seeing success. And for me, it felt like those races where I had really good results, the mindset was just like, who cares? If I hit the net, I hit the net. If I come down slow, I'm slow. If I'm fast, I'm fast. And searching for that kind of mentality is something that I think you need to find it to be one of those best guys in the world and not just have sporadic days where you're competing with them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you guys have had some real success this year, and Kitzbühel Super G was pretty awesome to watch. And even though I thought you were going to lose it at the one section in the race there, Jack, where you're twisted up and still pulled out a sixth place, which was incredible. And Jeff was right there in top 20. That race was, I think, was within 2 seconds, the first 20 guys. So you're right there with the best in the world. So you're there with those guys. So you must feel after a race like that, that maybe you're not the underdogs for much longer. Right. And Johnny Cachera was that underdog. And you mentioned it earlier, Johnny was that underdog in his career until all of a sudden he had his breakthrough. And then it was just one after the other, after the other. So Jeff, do you want to talk about that and how those races, when you're right there, how does that make you feel going forward? And do you really think you're going to be underdogs?
I think Kitzbühel was just such a big confidence boost for all of us. And that was really good to have before coming into World Champs there. Definitely helped us bring some momentum in. And yeah, it definitely showed, because even on our runs, something that I really struggled with this year and other guys a little bit is having really fast splits and then really slow splits and kind of being all over the board. And that shows that we have the speed, and we've just kind of got all pieced together in one run. And I mean, our European competitors definitely are aware of us, and a lot of them really like it, what we've got going here. Like, I was talking to Andreas Sander in Val d'Isère. They definitely know that we're here and we have a bit of a presence. So it's something that we still got to keep working on to kind of find that consistency to find that top level. But yeah, I mean, it's a long road as a speed skier, and we're sure progressing pretty fast. But I think we got to keep our mind on the fact that it is a long run, and it's not easy to kind of get all that experience down pat and be able to find that really that limit on every track. We're competing against guys that are up to 15 years older than us. And so we're hungry for a lot, but it'll come soon for sure. Just got to figure out how to get it all down in one run.
And Brody, I mean, Cortina was an awesome race for you too. Can you talk about how that, you know, going forward, does that give you the confidence going into the next race and the next race?
Yeah, that was definitely a huge confidence boost, and just such a a feeling of relief as well at the time after the way the season began for me, having to fly home in December and have my first surgery, watch a bunch of races happen while I was away, and just set my eyes on the rehab and what I needed to do to get back into racing shape, which in a way I think helped me stay focused on the process and not put too much pressure on myself. And then when I came down on that Super G day, it was funny because immediately after the race, you know, you're fourth place, you're only 4 hundies off of a world championship medal. And when I walked out of the finish corral, so many people immediately are giving me this look already like, Oh, so close, you know, so close to a medal. I'm sorry. And meanwhile, I'm like over the moon. You know, the fact that I crossed the line and just looked up and saw a single digit on the board, and I'd never had that before. But especially after what I just went through over the previous 2 months, I was just over the moon. And I had a funny conversation with Eric Gay at the end of the season where he was like, yeah, you know, those situations are funny because it's almost better if you're fifth, because then you're not even thinking that way. But because you're fourth, everybody's like, oh, so close to a medal. But yeah, it was great to be that close, and keeps me hungry for more. But also, yeah, take away confidence knowing that that's not far off at all.
We've got a couple minutes left, and we'll try not to keep it much longer. And normally I'd like to ask each of you what makes you a good skier, but we're going to mix it up a little bit here. We're going to have you guys speak about each other, if you don't mind. So Brody, what makes, when Jack's at his best, why is he good? And when Jeff's at his best, what makes him good?
Spicy, throwing a curveball in there. Okay, I gotta apologize to Jack. I'm gonna bring up the Kitzbühel race from 2 seasons ago, and the feed that we found his run on after the race had a British commentator. I'm not sure who it was because it's not Nick Fellows. And as soon as Jack gets in the gate, this guy says, you know, Jack's picture pops up, and he says this guy's got a terrier look about him. Not only in you know, like his face, but in his skiing style and stuff. And we sort of joked about that for a while. He's got the terrier attack. But that, you know, like when I was on the combined day in Cortina, on the combined day in Cortina, when I was not racing that day, I'm watching from the hotel room. Watching his Super G run, that kind of popped back into my head actually, because that's sort of the way it looked to me. It's just, I think when Jack's at his best, he's just in full attack mode. You can tell his skis are glued to the snow. He's linking the turn super well and just always on the front of the boot. Jeff's got a, well, like you said before, that's why it's been so difficult in his career to narrow it down, because he's got this incredible snap on his skis that makes him successful in tech. But then he's also got to be the best glider on our team with this really light touch. And we were just working on that. I was watching a lot of his video last week at our spring camp in Nikiska, because we had kind of soft snow and got an opportunity to do some downhill training, which was great. But it was a great comparison for me on, he was absolutely kicking our asses, and it's conditions and a hill that I am not good on at all, you know, being maybe a little too aggressive on my edge and stuff like that. So watching the way he can be aggressive but still light on the edge and long with the pressure and really link the turns together well, that's one thing I look up to in his style.
Oh,
perfect. You are the nicest one. Jeff, I'll give you a crack for any rebuttal and your thoughts on both Brody and Jack.
So diving to Brody here. I mean, for me, I see him as Mr. Solid. I think it's kind of any condition, any hill type, you can always count on Brody being fast. If it's steeper and bumpier, the gnarlier he is, or, and the faster he is. I was at the finish already at the Cortina Super G, and I was down there with Jack, and we were just like, this could be Brody's day. Like, he's good at keeping this shit really solid. Like, this could be his run. And like, sure enough, he came to that the tricky section that everyone was messing up, and just like Mr. Solid right through there, like no problem. And we're like, oh yeah, it's just as we thought. So I think that's Brody's thing, is that he just, no matter what it is, he can pipe it up and be fast. And then over to Jack, it's Jack. He's got moments where it's unbelievably linked and dialed. And I find it funny just seeing him ski, comparing him to myself. I've mentioned this a lot this year, is that we just have to ski so different. Like, I can't look at Jack skiing and be like, oh, I need to ski like that. Cause like, yeah, I'm a 6'2" guy with really long legs, and Jack's, 5 foot nothing and got stumpy legs. No, but he's like so solid, and it's just like something that you don't see out of a big guy like me, but it like works really well. And that's why I think Jack there has had a lot of success on gnarly tracks too, is that he's just like always in such a really solid position that you can kind of do whatever from, and then just like hammer in the front of the boot. I can remember a rundown Kit Spiel at the Europa Cup where his goggles were basically hanging off the back of his helmet. He didn't have poles in either of his hands. So it hasn't been an easy road for him, but I think where his skiing is now, it's quite incredible. And I think, he's kind of leading the charge for us in Super G, and it definitely, it's no doubt with how he skis, it's fast.
All right, Jack, the struggles are real, huh? The struggles are real, apparently. We'll give you the last swing at this, right? They've all said nice things. You don't have to say nice things. You can be honest if you want.
Let us have it.
All right, Jack, what do you say about these two guys? What makes them good?
Brody for me is pretty easy. I don't know. I find Brody and I both excel in similar places or similar conditions and courses. So when I'm watching video and doing a lot of stuff, when Brody's, well, he's the other guy on the team who I tend to watch. I'm kind of with Jeff on that one. I can't really watch him because I watch him and I'm just like, I can't do that. But with Brody, when he's skiing really confident, he doesn't move differently. When he's skiing bad, it's still the same movement. It's still to a solid position. It's just when he's willing to be clean on the ski, when he's willing to do it above the gate, and that's when I think Brody's skiing at his best. Like he's one of the guys on the team who's got that muscle memory down pretty pat, where the movement's always to a solid position, but it's just whether he's clean. And that's the big.
Okay, hold on. Should I be writing this down? Is what I need to do.
I thought you were.
And then Jeff is a mystery to me. What makes Jeff good is definitely his touch on the snow. It seems like his pressure is always right for the snow condition, and he kind of excels on a little different scale than Brody and I. I watch him on a track like Bormio, and I'm kind of like, okay, he can either do really, really well or might get bounced around. But then you go, I watch him on the snow, and it's the pressure's always good. And just has this, I don't know. He's the only guy who I know who can sit in his tuck so comfortably that he's like in a full tuck doing 120 kilometer glide turns. Like I don't know how he does it.
Still skiing well, still making a good turn in the tuck.
Yeah. That's all.
It's a mystery. It's just in his blood.
Mind bender.
Welcome back. Thanks again to Brody and Jack and Jeff for a great, interesting conversation. It's now time for our thoughts of the day. Jeff Vibert, what do you think, and what are your thoughts of the day?
Martin, these guys were great to talk to. They're up and comers, as Nick Fellows mentioned in our conversation with him. And as Kara said, there's lots of people looking for these guys on the World Cup to do what they did this year on a regular basis. So, I think one of the takeaways for me was how important team culture is. And these guys have built an important team dynamic they all seem to get along, and maybe that's because they all came up together. They're there for one another. They're pushing each other. They're excited when they do well, and they can't wait for more, which is great. And it's shown in some of those great results as Kara talked about. So for me, I'm really excited for these guys. I think that they have a really, really bright future. And I think we're going to be talking about these guys for some time, and they may be the next legacy team. Like Kara said, maybe they're the next Canucks. Maybe they're the next Cowboys. Who knows? Kara, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, a great interview, first of all, by the way, guys. It was really enlightening to listen to these three young men talk. And I particularly loved it when Jack Crawford said that the fastest guys on the tour push out of the start gate with the intent to be the fastest every time. Having that mindset, that absolutely insane mindset that if you end up in the net, well, at least you were going all out. You didn't hold anything back. He talks about searching for that mindset and finding a way to have it at every start, not just on the sporadic days where he's pulling out a top five or a top 10. All three of these athletes have shown that they can be up there with the Kriegmeiers and the Pinteros. And the fact that Jack identifies that the missing factor for him may be the mental skills training, the ability to manage stress and block distractions and elevate his confidence, shows to me that he's honing in on what will take him to the next level. And I remember watching Brody Seager in the start gate at the Cortina Super G World Championships, and there were several course holds ahead of him. And because it was a live feed with no one commentating, we could see him in the start area. And he just seemed to be really chill. He was chatting with the coaches and officials. And I heard him laugh and actually say something like, "Whoa, it looks pretty gnarly out there." And then he got in the start gate and he threw down an absolute smoker of a run to finish fourth behind Kriegmeier, Bowman, and Pintero from bib 28. I mean, if he could dial into this mental game every time, there's nothing that he couldn't do. And I'm really excited to see the future for these three guys. I think we're definitely going to be talking about them as a legacy team in the near future. Martin, what are your thoughts of the day?
I think both of you are spot on. They all clearly have enough firepower to go get it done on any given day. And it seems like they're going to get better and better at doing it on a more regular basis. They're all part of a long progression through Alpine Canada and the provincial systems, and it seems to be working. The pieces are in place. They've worked hard to put those pieces in place, but they're in place. They've got the team culture that Jeff spoke about. They've got Johnny Kuchera and that squad of coaches that they're working with and they're working well with. They've got a great learning attitude. They're absorbing a lot as they go. There's a lot more they can learn and will learn. There's a lot more to do to be more prepared mentally and physically. And there's a lot of promise, but there's also a lot of really exciting things that could happen for these guys in the near future. And you both said it, they are worth keeping an eye on. So watch this space. We're going to be hearing these names and seeing their faces and watching the results for some time to come. And it's really exciting time for the three of them, for Alpine Canada, and for Canadian ski racing fans as a whole. So thank you to those three for a great conversation. Thank you, Jeff and Kara, for your wonderful thoughts. We will see you all back here on The Next Turn soon. Be well.